So this is I'm doing a tribe, which is on page 6. It's in the voice of a Londoner. I'm not going to attempt to do a British accent, because when I do, it sort of sounds like Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins. But then it did occur to me that Dick and Dyke might sort of be appropriate to this place. So, yeah. All right, tribe. I grew up in a small town outside of London. The town itself is quite well off, posh, very conservative. On the edge of the town are a couple of estates set apart from the town. That's where I come from. The estates have their own rules and ways of being. Everyone knows everyone else. It's very working class. There's a lot of organized crime. There weren't any visible gay people. Growing up with my mates, I never felt different. I was aware of my sexuality very early on, from the age of 4. I didn't have a word for it, but I knew I liked girls, and I knew I liked boys. I must have had pretty good self-esteem. I didn't feel anything was wrong with me. I thought everyone felt the same, but that it was the rules. You just didn't do it. I never spoke about fancying men. Among my mates, there was a lot of homophobic talk, and it was clear that being gay was one of the worst things that you could be. That it was unnatural and sick and not to be stood for, specifically gay males. You had to be disgusted and repulsed by that and seen to be doing so. I never understood why. We were all part of this hyper-masculine world, and there was a lot of ingrained misogyny, and I was part of that. How I behaved, how I was in my relationships with women. Being a man was all about being physically strong, not showing emotions, being hard, and fighting. Fighting was a big part of it. It was an inflated school playground idea of masculinity. I always had female partners, one after the other, without any gaps. I pushed other thoughts and fantasies away, thinking I was just a little bit gay. From the time I was a teenager, I always wanted to move to London. The atmosphere was different. I wouldn't even have known what the word liberal meant then, but I felt diversity. I wanted to get away from that small town mentality. I moved to London when I was 19. We were punks in that. I was involved in a lot of underground subcultures. Difference was really accepted, but gay people were still kind of separate. When my relationship at the time ended, I decided to take some time to think. One day, I had a fantasy about a man that was so intense that I knew that it was something I had to act on. I realized that I hadn't done anything before out of fear. It took me a long time to find what I wanted. What I wanted was a craggy, older, rough-looking, cocky kind of man. At the time, it wasn't easy to find, or I might come across someone who looked like that, and then when they spoke, they would be, "Oh, hello, darling." Very camp. I suppose I was prejudiced. I've done a lot of work on my attitudes over the years. Anyway, I found what I was looking for, and it was amazing. I realized my gayness was way more than 10%. It was more like 50-50, and that was subject to change. There were times when I felt really gay, times when I was interested in women. Sometimes that whole cycle could take place over years. The Hoist. I am so sad that place is gone. That space was incredible. The whole way it was set up, all of it was around men having sex with other men. I remember driving past, seeing builders carrying in plasterboard to redo the interior. It broke my heart. We had a few mixed nights, but mostly full-on hard gay male sex. Naked night, 400 naked gay men going at it full-on. Fisting nights. Mares and stallions, men being led around with bags over their heads down a line of men inspecting them. It was a totally free space, taking away all the rules of polite society. I heard about different places out in the suburbs closing down. Now, in the center of London, we've lost our spaces too. My involvement with the traveler scene and the free party movement was before I came out. The traveler scene was quite closed. It was for people who had been born into that life, who grew up in it, traveling from festival to festival, people who lived in horse-drawn communities, and all that. When rave music started, then it changed things. People in the traveler communities were holding these parties outside of towns, and other people were turning up. When ease started happening, that and the music, people could go to these places and party for days. Huge crowds were turning up, and the traveler people were realizing that they were changing something, that something was happening. It was completely revolutionary. It was rebel music. It also meant that a lot of people from outside were joining, what were previously closed communities. I didn't have an experience with homophobia in that scene. The ethos was about how we were all coming together. Spiral Tribe became quite a big thing, known by the media and the powers that be. The powers that be were frightened of us. The fact that people were stepping outside of their normal programming, that people were realizing the world is fucked. That there's a load of toffs trying to tell us what to do. The money is going up and we're just the suckers on the plantation. Everything became clear. The authorities decided to stop it. Mid-party, you'd be surrounded by cops, unmarked paramilitary support units. They would beat us, batter us, and they would take everything. Every flyer, every bit of artwork, which had a lot of symbolism and meaning. All our musical instruments, all our history, if you like. They would take all of it. So we would go back to a bit of squatted land and build it back up again. And then the police would come and take it away again. With the ravers, we would just say, there's a £5 donation so we can pay for replacing the rig. You'd have the money right away because the ravers wanted us. But it became so barbaric on the part of the police. Nothing was in the news about what was happening. We were arrested and went to court. It cost millions. But because of the fact that we got off, they changed the law. The repetitive beats law was a way of making rave music illegal. What had been a utopian vibe about a new tomorrow where everyone can come together was corrupted. We became hardened. The whole scene became harder. The music changed to reflect that, and a lot of people couldn't come anymore. That arbitrary law, used in a discriminatory fashion, it put a fizzle on the sizzle.